Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are here today, this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Thank you. You too.
Or Turkey Day or Tofurkey Day Eve, depending on what you prefer.
Whichever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great show today. I think I say that every week, but that's how it feels.
But this time you mean it. All those other times you were just, you know, trying to put a nice spin on things. But today, telling the truth.
It's a great show. And I mean it this time. We've just had a wonderful month of authors on the show. We had Dr. Stanley Coren on last week. We had Major Brian Dennis and his phenomenal dog, Nubs, who he brought back from Iraq on the week before that. And the week before that, we had Dr. Michael Fox, the author of Not Fit for a Dog, The Truth About Manufactured Dog and Cat Food. Wonderful interview.
I bet Nubs is going to have a great Thanksgiving, too.
I bet he is. I bet they both are. So Eric is the booth engineer, among many other things. What are your other titles, Eric?
I'm the program coordinator for the station here and, engineer for this show and many other shows and announcer.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, master of none, whatever you want to say.
Well, I wanted to start in the spirit of Thanksgiving, Eric, to thank you for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you very
show.
Much.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I don't think I acknowledge you enough on air. I just say hi to you, but...
Well, I always appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's nice. It's a small booth, so it's nice to be in the booth with someone who I enjoy being with. So.
Well, thank you very much. And let me just say that this show is one of the highlights of my week, so I'm very thankful to be able to do it with you.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to thank my call screener, reliable call screener
Darcy.
And partner, Darcy. She is the, she just sits silently over in the booth to answer phone calls and to take your addresses when we give away books and wellness pet food gift vouchers and Bit of Love treats and all that cool stuff. Darcy's the one who answers the phone and gets your information and then gets it to me so that you actually receive it. So thank you, Darcy. Darcy is the owner and founder of Healing Allies, which is a therapeutic assistance dog training company. She has a few different programs, but she works with people with mental illness to work with them and a mental health service dog and also emotional support dogs. It's a really, really cool business that she's got going on there. And the website, if you want to check it out, is www.mentalhealthdogs.org. So it's a great website, www.mentalhealthdogs.org. And, we've got a dog dedication song today, which is very appropriate for Thanksgiving, which is going to be for, of course, my big Chewy, who I just had to put down a few months ago, who, if you've listened to the show regularly, you know all that story. And if you've missed it, you can go to the website, www.dogtalkshow.com. All of the past shows are archived in the podcast section, so you can catch any past show. And I shared my experience losing Chewy with my listeners, because it's a part of living with a dog. Have to say goodbye to them, usually, at some point, because we tend to outlive them. And it was the first time I'd had to go through that process, and it was intense, and there's a lot to it for sure. And I had some really great callers on that day who shared stories of their dogs that they had lost, you know, that they had had in the past. So today's show before Thanksgiving is dedicated to Chewy, who gave me 12 beautiful years of companionship and just some of the sweetest love I've ever experienced. And to everybody's dog out there, everybody's version of Chewy, who's had dogs in the past or who have dogs, you know, basically the show is for the dogs too. So I've got a great theme song for the show, and it's all just for everybody's dogs that they love. That's why we're all here. So. Mm.
So if your dog's taking a nap, wake him up and
make him listen
to the radio.
Yeah, don't forget to thank your dogs tomorrow, too.
A little turkey goes a long way, I think, in thanking your dogs.
Yes. You know, Eric, yesterday I was at a produce stand in my neighborhood, Beacon Hill in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a Dog Talk Show car sticker in the parking lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. Fortunately, I wasn't driving, so I was, you know, I might have gone off the road if I had seen it while driving.
Did you fall off the sidewalk?
No. Well, I had just parked, and then I looked ahead of me, and it was like, bam, right there.
Beautiful.
Which was awesome. So it's been, this is our 40th show, and we have these really, really cool car stickers that are oval shaped, and it has our logo on it. And you can go to the website to look at the logo. It's at the top of the homepage.
And it's a great logo.
Yeah. A lot of people give me that input, so that's nice. Next year, t-shirts, yeah. So we have these waterproof, weatherproof car stickers that are free.
Urine-proof, as I like to point out as well.
Urine-proof, yes. And so if you would like one, I would be happy to send you one for free. Send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com, and just send me your mailing address, and I would be happy to send you out a car sticker, and I'd probably throw in some coupons for Bit of Love treats as well. So host@dogtalkshow.com, that's how you can get to me directly, really with any communication. But if you'd like a sticker, I'd love to send one out. So I got an interesting email about something from the American Kennel Club that it says the American Kennel Club celebrates Thanksgiving with a nod to the dogs who sailed the Mayflower.
Oh, yes. I think I saw something about this.
Yeah. Research confirms that pilgrims weren't the only passengers aboard the Mayflower. Turns out man's best friend also made the transatlantic voyage from Southampton, England to Plymouth, Mass., my home state.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this Thanksgiving, the American Kennel Club celebrates the English Springer Spaniel and the Mastiff, English Mastiff, I'm assuming. The two breeds who joined the pilgrims on their journey to the New World and who were the first to make dogs a part of everyday life for the earliest Western settlers.
Well, do we have any idea of the names of the dogs that made that Mayflower sailing?
They didn't say.
Ah.
Probably something like Thomas and James, or I don't know. What are some?
It would be funny if it was
Rover,
like Mr. Snugglesworth or something.
Probably,
you know?
Probably not.
From back then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they would have named them, but that must
Lord
have been
Lord Snugglesworth. Yeah. Because of
well, that time. must have been a heck of a ride. I mean, for the pilgrims too, but the dogs on the ship too. I hadn't even thought of that. So it makes sense that they would take the Mastiff, one of the largest dogs recognized by the AKC, which is the American Kennel Club. Some can top 200 pounds, and they were raised in Britain for more than 2,000 years, and they were used as hunting dogs by nobility and as watchdogs. And then the Springer Spaniel, and we learned a bit about spaniels last week when we were talking to Stanley Corin about the evolution of the gun dog, and that spaniels help hunters hunt by sort of chaotically, I think he said, quartering the land in front of them, and they just sort of run all over the place and flush out anything that's down there, any birds, flush them out, and then the hunters get a shot at them. So I guess it would make sense that they'd take, you know, hunting dogs and then a dog that can certainly guard. So good choices.
Probably helped out get that turkey on the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. And not at all a surprise that they're two English breeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly no Boston Terriers coming over on the Mayflower.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Not just yet.
So it was interesting. And there's some Thanksgiving tips that's good to know. Never give cooked turkey bones or anything like that to dogs. Cooked bones become brittle and splinter. Raw bones, though, generally are safe. Raw bones pulverize when they're crushed, whereas cooked bones become brittle and splinter, which can cause sharp points that can tear the digestive tract on its way through. So be careful about that. But a good way to say thank you for your dogs, if your dogs don't have any particular sensitivities, would be to give your dogs some giblets. Giblets or giblets?
Giblets.
Giblets.
Yeah.
They'd love those heart and whatever else
they've
got.
I'm a
there.
Fan of the giblets.
Are you?
Myself. Yeah, I know a lot of people aren't, but I think they're great. So yeah. I'm with the dogs on this one.
Yeah. Well, your family.
Go giblets.
Your family dogs probably have to fight you for the giblets then, huh? Eric is giblet aggressive.
They can have the neck.
Yeah. Well, I have an ad that I came across and exclaimed when I saw it, as usual, in a very popular magazine that I'm going to talk about on the show today. And there's also some word of the King County Public Health, I don't know what it would be, the section or something like that, where they are talking about making pet stores pay for a permit to carry raw food and sell raw food. And there's a bit of controversy about this among pet store owners and raw food manufacturers. I talked to Jackie Haggard, who's the owner of the Natural Pet Pantry, who's one of our sponsors and makes a wonderful product. And I've seen their facility and all that kind of stuff. So I talked with her for a little while earlier today and got some of her feedback about this. And so we'll be discussing that as well today. And some other great stuff, too. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break and listen to some of our fabulous sponsors. So stay tuned in, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets, we cover the world of animals. It's shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, and we'll catch up with all of our regulars. But my personal favorite part of this week's show is because it's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and that means it's time for our holiday format featuring the Jingle Cats and Jingle Dogs and all of their holiday carols. I'm so excited, so join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM on this Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday. Do you know today is our 40th show? Did I already say that?
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just flown by.
10 months.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Very cool. And as usual, we've got some stuff to give away today and Ooh. Some dog talk show trivia.
My favorite.
Yeah. So, but that's not happening yet, so stay tuned. But I have a trivia question. I actually have a couple. Trivia question, and I'll give you the number to call. If you want to write it down now so that you have it handy to be the first caller, it's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. That's 425-373-5527. But I'm not going to ask that question yet. But I've got $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers to give away, which is excellent. So I love doing that. I love having the dog talk show trivia pretty much every week. And, you know, I was surprised, Eric, that, you know, we've been on the air for 10 months, and I do have some listeners who listen regularly. They either listen at work or mm-hmm. on their way home from work or...
Well, of course.
Yeah. And I had a listener who called in last week and she had just gotten a puppy and she did not realize until last week that I actually am a training and behavior specialist and that uh-huh. I do in-home lessons and teach group classes and uh-huh. all that kind of stuff. So I think I need to reword my ad or something because it is on the show. But
it is,
but
yeah.
I don't say that it's the host... Me, the host of the show. So,
right.
But yeah, so I do, I offer in-home private lessons in greater Seattle area, group classes that I teach at the Barking Lounge, which is downtown Seattle, both basic obedience classes and a just-for-fun agility class, non-competitive. And I also offer some intensive in-home training programs, 2 and 3 week programs that I do to work with people's dogs every day for 2 or 3 weeks and basically teach them the whole word list in that time. So you can get in touch with me if you have some, you know, training or behavior questions or nutrition questions. If you'd like to set up a consultation, I will come to your house and I am available for that. So you can reach me at host@dogtalkshow.com. But my training website is sensitivedog.com. That's my training business. So sensitivedog.com. You can get me at julie@sensitivedog.com. So I wanted to let people know about that and wanted to talk a bit in this segment about nonverbal communication because it's probably one of the biggest parts in learning how to communicate with your dog
mm-hmm.
is most of it's nonverbal because dogs are not verbal by nature.
Right.
We tend to get caught up in our head and talk, 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 sit, 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 push the dog's butt down, blah, blah, blah. You know that Far Side cartoon, blah, 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 ginger, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Ginger, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not what we say. It's how we say it and what our posture is like and what our intention is and, you know, our energy and all that kind of stuff, how connected we are and how present we are. And I think that these days, especially with how fast things move, I mean, it's like everything just seems to go so fast all the time. And
right. we're a culture that seems to have a short attention span for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the first things that I work with people on is really slowing down when they're training their dog and listening to the dog, meaning watching. What that means is watching the dog because dogs are not verbal. They're vocal yeah. sometimes, but not verbal. So if you're listening to your dog, how you listen to a dog is by watching them and also being tuned in to how you feel and kind of what the feel is that you get from the dog because it's very intuitive. So really learning how to read your dog, slowing down. Like if your dog knows sit, for example. So we'll mm-hmm. take sit as a basic example, but that you can apply this to any basic obedience command. A lot of people don't give their dogs time to process the request and do it on their own.
Mm.
We sit, 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 you know. And it's just this sort of rapid fire command at the dog. And it's really not asking the dog to make the choice on their own to process the request and then sit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's slow down. Okay, you know your dog knows what sit means. So it's fair for you to now have this expectation of when I ask you to sit, I want you to do it after I ask you the first time. Sit. And then watch the dog. let them, you know, see what they do. If you're the type of person who's repeated is used to repeating the command over and over again, because that's a lot of people do that because that's what they feel they need to do to get the dogs to listen.
Oh, maybe he didn't hear me.
And dogs are really good at making you think that they didn't hear you. Yeah. Or like, did I even just say anything? Because right. They just completely ignore you. But they did. So try this out with your dog. If you think that you are, you know, if you've been really used to repeating the command over and over again, to just really slow it down to one. Say it once. You can say the dog's name if you want. So one of our dogs' name is Levi. So it would go, Levi, sit. And watch the dog. And it's going to, you know, 3 seconds might feel like an eternity, but it's really not that long. People just don't have the patience or the attention span, or they think that something's wrong if it's taken the dog more than 2 seconds. But, you know, if I asked you, Eric, right now to stand up from your chair, you know, it would be weird if I was like, Eric, stand up, stand up, stand up, Eric, stand up, stand up. I mean, that's weird, right? It takes
you. Sound like my boss. No, I'm kidding.
It takes you some time to, like, you know, a few seconds anyway to, you know, have your brain tell your muscles to, you
know.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you just got to kind of slow down and talk to the dogs, because, you know, if it's a word that you know they know what it means, then you can practice it. Obviously, if you're teaching the dog a new word, if your dog doesn't know how to lay down yet, you first need to teach them what down means by, you know, luring them with treats and getting them into the position and then telling them good down when they're laying down and all this kind of stuff. But once they know what it means, practice raising, you know, raise the bar a little bit, because we just don't give them enough credit. Remember, dogs have the capacity to learn 400 to 900 words average. So I think we underestimate them.
Which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I haven't counted the amount of words that I know, but I think it's probably like 502.
Something
so,
like
yeah,
that,
that's
yeah.
Pretty good.
I think there's a border collie in Germany that's smarter than you then.
Uh-oh.
No. So,
why, that little wiener schnitzel?
Yeah. Sir, I don't know if it's a dachshund. So it's probably the most, once people really get that, it just makes a huge difference, because it changes how you interact with the dog, which affects how the dog interacts with you. I had a client who she got a dog, and she was terrified of dogs, but she got a dog for her son. Mm-hmm. And she was scared of dogs. She couldn't even pick the dog up as a puppy. She was that scared of that. It was an Australian Shepherd.
Wow.
And so I had done a couple lessons with them when they first got the puppy, and then I didn't hear from them for about a year and a half. And then she gave me a call, and, you know, they were having some problems with the dog because she'd raised the dog being afraid of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she's a very high energy woman. So she was doing that sit, 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 you know, the dog's name, sit, and just, you know, really intense.
Right.
And this is an Australian Shepherd, which is a pretty high energy dog as it is.
Yeah.
And the dog was having major anxiety, like, was just constantly, like, vibrating. And so I worked with her and taught her a lot about communicating with dogs, how to slow down, presence. And it's really beautiful to see dogs respond almost immediately sometimes when you get the owner to where they need to be. So, and she said multiple times during conversation as we were working together, I swear he looks at me differently. And it's because she looks at him differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, we are really mostly the source of, you know, our dogs are like a reflection of us, really. So it's really about looking at the person.
Well, it seems like if you've got a dog phobia or have issues with dogs, maybe a low energy dog would be the way to the start, you know, like maybe a basset hound or something.
Yeah.
Australian Shepherd seems like that's really.
Yeah. I mean, I was
jumping right in.
I was just surprised that she got a dog being so terrified.
Right.
I mean, and she really, you know, I got to hand it to her. It was just such a pleasure to work with her because she was so committed. And so in it, she just really gave herself to the training and was so committed to, you know, listening to how she talks and correcting behaviors of hers and, you know, forming new habits, which isn't easy to do for us. in addition to for the dogs too, probably harder for people.
I bet.
You know, don't repeat the command, slow down, let the dog think. And it was like almost an immediate transformation. And then over, I did an intensive program with her where I worked with her every day for 2 weeks. And it was just such a wonderful, fulfilling thing to do, be a part of. And she did such a wonderful job, and the dog just responded so immediately to it. It was amazing how, you know, dogs just really don't dwell on the past like we do. So a lot of times if you just put in what's missing, it's like, boom, almost instant. It's cool. So, yeah, I mean, one of the main things to take from this is to just really slow down and be present to your dogs when you're working with them or when you're asking them to do something. And you'll notice a big difference in the dogs. At first, they'll probably test you. If you ask them to sit and they're used to you repeating the command 20 times and, you know, waving your arms or showing them treats and all that kind of stuff. And so if you make this adjustment now, okay, I want you to do it because I said so, and I'm going to give you time to think about it. And then if the dog doesn't sit, you can tell them no and then ask again. But after a few times, usually they'll kind of, oh, okay, this is different, but this works too. And it has an overall calming effect on the dogs when you start to...
Do you find the tone of the voice is really important? Because I notice like different dog owners are like really firm with, I said sit, and some of them are more like, sit, boy, sit, come on, sit.
Yeah.
And does the dog respond to tone more or less?
Yeah, it's a good question. My favorite one is, can you sit? It's like, well, ask the dog, and they'll probably a lot of times tell you no if there's no treat involved.
The dog's like, that's a good question.
No, I can't. Show me the treat. The tone is important, and it's about being present and grounded, and your intention is really important. So what I like to tell people is to, you know, you want to ask with the expectation that the dog is going to do it because you know they know it. So you don't have to try too hard to sound overly authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
Sit, you know, bark this command at them,
right,
so to speak. You also don't want to, you know, ask them if they can do it. You just want to tell them. I mean, you want to have this attitude like, I'm asking you to do something and I need you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're going to do it. And I know I'm going to get it. So like when I'm working with a dog, especially because some dogs more than others for sure, but some dogs are pretty, you know, they're super smart and they're really dominant. They'll test you because basically what you're trying to establish is control of the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not sit when you want to, it's sit when I want you to. So most dogs are going to be like, since when? You know, if you're used to waving a treat around, stuff like that. So it does take some, you know, you got to be consistent and let them know. And so I like to tell people, I share with people that when I'm working with a dog and it's just the dog and I have this attitude of I have all day and we're not leaving this interaction until I get this sit. And it's not, you know, the dog's not in trouble and I'm not mad and it's not, you know, I'm not trying to intimidate the dog or anything. If anything, it has a positive feel to it at the end of it because I want the dog to want to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it is this, it's that kind of that presence of leadership of you have to do it. You can choose not to do it. And, you know, I'll tell you no and then ask again and I'm not going to quit until you do it. And then when you do it, I give you lots of reward and praise and all that kind of stuff, so... It's really cool. I got to start videotaping working with dogs because it's really cool to see them go through that thought process because it doesn't look, if you're not used to it, it doesn't necessarily look. I mean, like you said, sometimes the dog thinking about doing it looks like them blowing you off.
Right.
So, very cool. Now, if you have any questions today about your dog, quirky behavior or training issue or food-related question, I would love to hear from you. So you can feel free to give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. I'd love to answer your dog question. Pretty much any question you have, give us a call and we'll bring you on air. And I'm sure your question answers other people's questions as well. That's 425-373-5527. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk. 1150.
Tell your friends the place to be is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we have a caller on line one. We have Gabe in Muckleteel who has a question about his dog. Hi, Gabe. Hi, Gabe.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. So, should I...
Tell me a little bit about what your question is and what your dog does.
So, my dog, whenever me or my mom sit in the living room to watch TV or a movie that we rented or something like that,
yeah.
My dog, Xena, comes in and starts howling a lot.
What kind of dog is Xena?
She's a Husky Malamute.
Mm. I love Huskies and Malamutes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's great.
How old is she?
She's probably 8 or 9.
Okay. And what do you do when she howls?
We usually try to get her to... Well, first we try to let her out and see if she wants to go outside or see if she needs anything. But if she doesn't, then we try to get her to lay down or sit or just kind of calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
But usually she won't. It's kind of like, it's like she wants something, but I don't really know what it is.
Well, I can tell you that what she wants is your attention.
Okay.
And so what dogs do if you're watching TV or on the phone. Did you say she'll do it on the phone too?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. They're wanting your attention. And I'll tell you, female Huskies and Malamutes tend to be dominant and very smart. So dogs will do a behavior if it's reinforced. So if you think about what's actually happening, if you guys are watching TV and she comes in and she wants your attention, so she starts howling and then, you know, you're like, oh, what do you need? Do you need to go outside? So then you go and you let her out. No, she doesn't have to go outside. Oh, okay. You come back down, you sit down, you watch TV, she starts howling again, and then maybe you tell her no, lay down, or you try to, you know, get her to do something else. But really what that is still is just interaction. So for her, what's happening is that you're watching TV, she wants attention, so she howls, and then you do something for her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So what you'd want to do with an attention getting behavior like howling or barking, if a dog barks at you while you're on the phone or something like that, is if you're going to address the behavior, you have to effectively negate the behavior, not reinforce it with negative attention positive attention. I mean, letting her out would actually be something positive that's happening. But even if you were to like shout at her and tell her to be quiet, that would actually still be reinforcing for her because she's at least getting your attention. It's true with kids as well. Love me, hate me, just don't ignore me.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, you could try like a squirt bottle with just water in it, and you'd get a squirt bottle that has a stream setting, not just a mist. You don't just want to give her a refreshing mist when she howls at you, but actually the stream setting, and you'd aim for her mouth. And so it's just water, so it's not going to hurt her if it, you know, splashes into her eyes or anything.
Uh-huh.
And so practice if she's, you know, if you're sitting down and you're watching TV and she comes over and howls at you, all she gets as a result of that behavior is a squirt at her mouth, and you tell her no. And it's just a flat, firm no, but there's no emotion, and you're not mad or frustrated.
Okay.
If that happens, every time she howls, she gets squirted, she's not going to howl. Now, sometimes dogs will do these behaviors more if they're bored in general. So for a smart dog, make sure that she has an outlet for her mental energy. You know, that you do work with her otherwise, that she has to problem solve sometimes. You can teach her a game like Find It, where you hide treats around the house and teach her how to basically search for them with her nose. Got to give them stuff to do. So it's like, okay, you want to make sure that you negate the behavior that you don't want. But you also want to make sure that you are meeting her needs otherwise. So, and with a dog like her, you know, physical exercise, but also mental exercise is very important. And that's true for most dogs. A lot of dogs don't have to work enough for things. And especially a working breed like, you know, Husky Malamute Mix.
Mm-hmm.
Super smart. And so make sure that you're, you know, if you give her, you know, an outlet, a constructive outlet for that, otherwise she probably wouldn't do the behavior as much anyway, too. So combination of making sure you're meeting her needs, and then also just you want it to be cause and effect. When she howls at you, when you're watching TV, she's trying to get your attention. So you want her experience to be when you howl at me, you just get squirted with the squirt bottle. That's it.
So, okay, squirt bottle in her mouth.
You don't have to like do it in her mouth. Like you can do it from a few feet away. It's just it's just like at her, because she's gonna be like, oh, I don't like that.
Okay.
And that's what happens. I mean, if it's you just have to negate the behavior. So it's got to be something that they don't want to have happen again.
Okay. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I guess.
All right.
You didn't call me, but you know.
I'm here though.
Thank you for your advice.
Yeah. You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Thank
Bye.
You.
Oh, man, those huskies. Gotta love them.
Yeah. Well, being a station that carries the UW women's basketball team, we just say, go Huskies.
Go Huskies, all the time. We had a Husky Shepherd mix growing up, and, man, she was smart. And they have attitude. I mean, Huskies have attitude, especially females. So she's being real funny to me. I just love dogs that do stuff like that. So that was a great question. The attention getting barking.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to boil it down. What does the dog want? Well, they want, he really made that very clear in how he was talking, was that we can't figure out what she wants. And really all she wants is, you know, him trying to figure out what she wants is what she wants. She wants attention.
Just some attention, yeah.
Yeah. So, but just so important to meet your dog's physical and mental needs. Because they're, 14,000 years at least, they've been evolving with us and they've been working with us. They've been hunting, they've been herding, they've been guarding,
mm-hmm.
they've had jobs to do. And now, you know, a lot of dogs don't really ever have to work for anything and they're just not satisfied. So if you do stuff with them, take them to a training class, take them to an agility class, do, breed specific stuff. If you have a dog that has a herding drive, take them herding. If you know, all this kind of stuff. There's so much that you can do, especially in this area, with your dog that'll...
Is there a type of breed that's, you know, as lazy as I am, you know, when you're out there looking?
Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, English bulldogs, they can't go for very far because of the nose, you know, their faces are smashed in. It's called brachycephalic. It's when they have that, you know, the smashed in nose. So they,
right.
you know,
like
they,
pugs have that too.
Yeah. So they have a, you know, can, depending on the individual, they can have a hard time breathing and they tend to move a little slow.
Right.
But they still need an outlet for the mental energy, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get a husky, for example, or, you know, a German short-haired pointer or some dog that's just made to run, I hope you're a jogger or something like that. You know, so in addition to the mental energy, you do have the physical. But there's dogs, too, like Cavalier, King Charles Spaniel. Those dogs were bred specifically to be companions. But even these little dogs, I mean, some of these little dogs are, you know... little dogs are super smart. They don't get enough credit. I think people think of little dogs. Some people think of little dogs and it's like, oh, little, you know, little accessory dog or whatever. But little dogs are smart and they can be used as service dogs. Darcy's worked with a, you know, a little dog recently who's an amazing service dog. And they're smart. Don't underestimate the little dog for sure. And also, too, they tend to get away with more, so they can be more of a problem. But I've worked with people whose little dogs are really running the show, and it's disruptive, even though they're like 10 pounds. So in some ways, I feel sometimes I think big dogs are easier, but I don't know. I think they're, in some ways they are, and in some ways they aren't. Well, we are going to take another break, and we'll be back with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked in custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Let's get it started. I'm Rich Hallstrom. Join me and my co-host Tim Humphrey every Monday at 1 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 for Motivation with a Purpose, where we will tell the inspiring stories of people from all walks of life. Motivation with a Purpose every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Had a great question last segment. So let's make sure we get the Dog Talk Show trivia in today before we run out of time, because time flies when you're having fun. So we're giving away $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers that we will mail to you if you can answer this question. The number to call is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. The question is, what was the Rhodesian Ridgeback bred to do? What was the Rhodesian Ridgeback bred to do? 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
You've already stumped me, so.
What was the Rhodesian Ridgeback bred to do?
Hopefully one of the listeners has a better grip on the lifestyle of the Ridgeback.
The modern life, actually it's not really modern lifestyle, but what were they originally bred to do? The Rhodesian Ridgeback is in the hound group, which one might not know. And I've actually seen them in something called lure coursing trials, which is really cool to watch. They are a sight hound, which means that they are driven more by sight than by scent. Like a scent hound would be like a bloodhound or basset hound or beagle or dachshund or one of those guys.
Interesting.
So we have Diane in Kent on line one, who's going to attempt to answer the question. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Were they bred to hunt bear?
No. Thanks, Eric.
Okay.
Very close, though, Diane. You're very close.
I know they were bred to hunt something, but I can't think of it. Lions, maybe?
Oh, you got it.
Yay!
Yep. Bred to hunt lions. They originate from Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So
well done.
Good deal. Well, I knew they were bred to hunt something. I thought it was something big, so.
Yep. That was close. So we're going to send you back to Darcy. So hang on the line. We're going to get your address, and we'll mail you out $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Diane. All right. Given that it's Thanksgiving Eve, Eric.
We play a little loose with the rules on Dog Talk Show trivia.
Yeah. Well, she was so close, though.
Yes.
I mean, you know, she had the idea.
I'm just saying.
If she had
listeners.
Said, you know, to keep Emperor's feet warm, then I wouldn't have given her a second
True
guess.
But,
although I think poodles were bred to, like toy poodles, the women, when they had these big dresses that came out, you know, like an umbrella kind of. Down to the floor, they'd have like little dogs underneath there that would actually keep her warm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's specialized.
That is specialized.
Why don't they have like a dog to, you know, wash dishes or something?
Well, they can do that. They're just a little slimy afterwards.
Right.
Dog saliva, it's kind of hard to get off the dishes after they've cleaned it off. So
yes.
You end up having to wash them anyway.
Thorough rinsing.
Yeah. I had just a little mention, Eric, of an ad that I came across in this fine magazine. And you know me by now.
Wait, that's not a fine magazine.
Sure it is.
I see what it is.
So I came across this ad, and
cute.
It's, it is cute. It's got a really cute dog, and that's how they get you.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to let people know, as you know, I've said this before, but you just don't believe the ads. Just don't. Especially, you know, the bigger the company, the less you believe the ad, basically.
What is the ad telling us in this case?
Al says, dogs and strollers, designer dog foods, wake me when it's over. Al's the voice of real dogs, Eric.
Uh-huh.
He thinks it's time for a little common sense. Time to get back to where mud is for tracking, squirrels are for chasing, and bowls are for the meaty, tasting goodness of 100% complete and balanced.
We don't have to say
food.
What it is. Yeah, but... Well, I was with him up to the...
Yeah, so here's the reality. If we're going to... Time to get back to, or what do they say? It thinks it's time for a little common sense. Let's talk about common sense, Eric.
Right.
Let's talk about
Sometimes
labeling.
Common sense is not so common.
Well, advertising really doesn't have anything to do with common sense. It has to do with human psychology, really, and trickery. So, of course not our advertisers, though, Eric.
Of course not.
I mean, geez, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here. But I personally, I handpick our advertisers, so you can rest assured that I would recommend all of our fine products and services, and I mean it, I'm not just saying it, mm-hmm. to friends and family, and I actually do. And I use them, most of them, all myself. So that being said, let's talk about labeling for pet food. First of all, dogs, okay, so they're taking the spin on designer dog foods and all this kind of stuff. Really, though, these specialized dog foods are... Better ingredients, whole ingredients, no byproducts, no corn, wheat, and soy. You know, the human pet food, the pet food industry exists, generally speaking, as a money-making byproduct of the human food industry. The labeling is very misleading. So one of the things that I came across from this article called What's Really in Pet Food. It's from the Animal Protection Institute. You can find it online quite easily. One of the things that they say is, here's something interesting. It says the flavor, and flavor is in quotations, rule, allows a food to be designated as a certain flavor as long as the ingredients are sufficient to, quote, impart a distinctive characteristic, end quote, to the food. Thus, a beef flavor food may contain a small quantity of digest or other extract of tissues from cattle without containing any actual beef meat at all. So, this particular one is a T-bone steak flavor, and it's a canned food. And so, what do you think when you see T-bone steak flavor? You think, oh, there's T-bone steak in the food, and it's not true. The ingredients of the food, I actually have them here. The first ingredient is meat byproducts, which is food that is not fit for human consumption. I looked up the definition of meat byproducts. Meat byproducts are parts of slaughtered animals, not including meat, meaning muscle meat. Included are lungs, spleen, kidneys, brain, liver, blood, bone, partially defatted low-temperature fatty tissue, stomach, and intestines. Freed of their contents. All right, well, that's not necessarily that bad, because if an animal was to catch, you know, another animal, hunt an animal, they would eat the innards as well. But what they don't mention is that meat byproducts may also legally contain 4D animals. And Dr. Michael Fox talked about these dead, dying, diseased, and down. Roadkill euthanized cats and dogs, including their collars. These source products are rendered, the fat is siphoned off to be used as animal fat, and the remaining material is extruded to form meat byproduct meal, or meat byproducts.
And that's just gross, if you ask me.
It's just gross. So, you know, they're taking this whole thing. I gotta say, there's no relationship between dogs and strollers and feeding your dog a more natural, healthy diet. So just, you gotta read the ingredient list. Do not read the label on the front of the bag. Because it's so misleading. And I have we're just about at the end of the show already. So don't forget to thank your dogs tomorrow on Thanksgiving for everything that they do for us. I've chosen this song today, Kind and Generous by Natalie Merchant, with my late dog in mind, and for everyone else's dogs out there that we love. We'll be here same time, same place next week. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.